Hour number two on this special Memorial Day edition of Four's Company. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly with you, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly BI membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We are with you until noon Central Time. We will take you through the college baseball NCAA tournament bracket reveal coming up at 11. But first, let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dr. Locke is on the line and wants to jump in. How's it going? Happy Memorial Day. Go ahead.
It's going well, sir. Going well, guys. I'm just listening to this, and it floors me. I mean, Pat McAfee, Paul Feinberg openly admitted that the SEC has the weakest non-conference schedule, and they followed that up by saying, well, the reason we have the weakest non-conference schedule is because we are the best conference and we cannibalize ourselves. But the last 2 years, every team, your Georgia, your Texas, the Big Ten has chewed up and spit out. I hate that Michigan team, but they won their national championship. We boat raced Texas. We absolutely destroyed that weak-ass Tennessee team you brought up to the horseshoe, annihilated them. And then the team that you guys cried about not getting in, oh, poor us, Alabama didn't get in. Michigan didn't even start their starters. You guys started, or they started Jalen Milroe, and they put their starters out there, and they lost to a backup Michigan team. Your SEC conference is trash, and now you guys want to sit and cry the blues about it. You know what? Play better in the championship. Win a championship. Stop living in the past. Because the present is the Big Ten right now.
Thank you for the call. We did say that the Big Ten and the SEC, that their top levels are about the same. Like I did say Georgia, Alabama, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, like they're all kind of in the same tier, but the depth in the SEC is better. Like the sixth best team in the SEC is way better than the sixth best team in the Big Ten.
How many SEC people do you know were crying about Alabama?
I would have thought it was a travesty if Alabama got into that tournament.
Oh, absolutely.
I think the committee got it right.
How many? I think it was only the people in Tuscaloosa that were crying about it.
What Dr. Locke has to get out of his mind is this 10 or trash mentality. The SEC is not trash, okay? The Big Ten has been better, I would say, last year. They have the reigning past two national champions. The SEC doesn't. So I would say the Big Ten, as far as the top is concerned, was certainly better last year.
Yeah.
But the overall depth of the SEC is better. And if Dr. Locke doesn't believe us, he's certainly welcome to go research and see how many draft picks the SEC produced over the last couple of years compared to the Big Ten.
Yeah. I think South Carolina was the sixth best team in the SEC. Iowa was the sixth best team in the Big Ten. Like, I would much rather face Iowa than South Carolina. And I think it can go deeper than that. The eighth best team in the SEC is way better than the eighth best team in the Big Ten. That doesn't mean that the top four on both aren't about equal.
And hey, look at that. Michigan played all their starters.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't remember them benching people for that game. Thank you for the call, Dr. Locks, on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Quickly, I want to get to our question of the day, and we want to honor all of those who served and paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom here on Memorial Day. Any quick stories about people who served in our families? And again, if you have any stories out there, we'd love to share them. 615-737-1025. Both my grandparents served. Both my grandfathers served. My grandpa on my dad's side was in the Air Force, and my grandpa on my mom's side was in the Navy. So neither of them died in combat. So obviously, difference between Veterans Day, Memorial Day, but obviously, you know, I feel like everybody out there has some connection to the military when it comes to family members.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Air Force and Navy. My grandfather, who I never got to meet, he passed away from colon cancer, but served in the Korean War back in the day. And then my grandmother was a nurse in the Air Force. So, I didn't get to, you know, really engage and have conversations with them for the most part because I was super young. But I got to meet my grandmother for a good bit of time and ask her a few questions, but that was about it. But, yeah, thank you for their service, honestly, and everybody else that serves for the United States military.
I only have one. My grandfather served, I want to say, in the Marines during Vietnam.
he likes to tell us he was in charge of the machine guns.
There
he
we go.
He likes to tell he's one of the badasses. But I honestly, he's a hero. Thank you all for your service. I don't get to see him as much, but when I do, I make sure to ask him about his time in the war and, you know, service to our country. So to all people listening, to all families, make sure you thank your loved ones that served. It is truly their day. We truly would not have what we have and be here without what the sacrifices they made for our country. So
yes, just like Frazier said at the top of the show, not just a long weekend. The reason we celebrate is those out there who served our country and paid the ultimate sacrifice, and we thank all of you out there and your family members for everything they've done for us and our freedom. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Again, we will take your stories of any loved ones, family members, yourselves out there who served as we continue on this special Memorial Day edition of Four's Company. Coming up next, if you listened in to our show on Friday, we filled in for Jared on the afternoon show and talked a little bit about this idea of relegation and promotion being added to college football. We know it's a long way away, but just about what that structure might look like, we're going to get back into that conversation coming up next here on Four's Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
In regards to relegation, you're heading to Europe, you're heading over to Germany, and I know you're a big soccer fan. Do you see a day that maybe college football looks at relegation in regards to the way their leagues are set up?
Pat, I would kiss you, but people would talk. Yes, I hope so. Because I would say this, you could easily do this in college sports and every sport. Why not have a promotion relegation system where, let me just throw this out as an idea, where you have to have a minimum $100 million budget, right, to be included in the top level. So if all of a sudden Sacramento State wanted to be in the top level, they have the budget, the stadium size, all those things. But yes, give schools like at Ohio University, if they truly want to do this, and the fans and the alumni and others want to do this, or others that are on the cusp, let's do a promotion relegation system. I've got to tell you, Pat, right now in Germany, and I will see a game this weekend, is promotion relegation season. Those are some bloodbath games because teams are fighting for their very existence in many ways. And I think it'd be another great excitement to have in college sports. So yes, it is something that should be explored.
That was Dr. David Ridpath, a sports business professor at Ohio University, talking about a possible promotion relegation system in college football on a show called Three Man Front. We talked about this on Friday, guys. What would a possible promotion relegation similar to European football look like in college football? And Dr. Ridpath said there that maybe one of the ways you could format it is a budget type system to start. Like, all right, who has the biggest budgets in college football? That can be Division I, and then so on and so forth. You make Division II, Division III of the FBS football system. I think you could also add like a historical perspective of like how many national championship, how many wins. Maybe there's a formula that goes into this to pick the 30 or 40 teams that would be in this top level. But we got into it a little bit on Friday, but Nick, I know you're a fan of this. Connor, I know you're not. Like, what, Connor, I'll go with you. What would it take to get you on board with this? What would you need to make this a little bit more palatable for you?
I think you need to keep a lot of the traditional values alive, and I think you need to keep, you need to work out some of the budgets. I've had some time to marinate, let this marinate over the weekend. I was thinking about this. Frazier, correct me if I'm wrong. When a team in the Premier League gets relegated and another team gets promoted, when that team gets promoted, they cut a lot of their players, correct?
Yeah, they tend to offload them or loan them to another team. Yeah, so yes.
So how would that work in the college game with NIL and the transfer portal? I feel that if a team were to get promoted, say, let's say Jacksonville State gets promoted to the SEC, just hypothetically, they would obviously cut a lot of the players that helped them get there and go to the portal and grab a lot of other players. I just feel that would be a shame to college football. It would kind of knock down the traditional value. We're already getting there on some level with the transfer portal and NIL and all that stuff, but it would knock down kind of the traditional values of, you know, having program guys and having walk-ons that make it to the next level of your team. That would all go away because you're just scouring the portal for the best available player.
I don't know. I'm going to disagree to that a little bit about walk-ons. I think the relegation promotion system would bring that back and kind of almost glorify it a little bit, primarily because, you know, you look at European soccer and you look at those independent leagues, like prime example, the Ryan Reynolds and
Wrexham.
Wrexham United or whatever, Wrexham FC. They started in an independent league in England, which is extremely hard to get out of. And they've been promoted ever since then, and they've been able to gradually increase their payroll. And those players that played for them, all independent guys. Like we talked about earlier with the flag football, some of the guys are probably plumbers. So, yeah, I mean, you're kind of if you did this with college football, you'd be glorifying the walk-on spot. They'd be able to earn their spot on the roster because a lot of these teams, I sent you guys a picture of the Tier 1, Tier 2, Tier 3.
Yeah.
Say a team like App State has a few walk-on guys that are actually playing, you know, walk-on football or walk on baseball for another sport and they go play football, they'll be able to earn their right on the roster. And then they might be able to say, oh, we're going to get promoted out of tier three. And then they might be able to earn some, you know, compensation in return. But say if they end up, you know, a team in tier two like Wake Forest drops down to tier three, then yes, like Connor's saying, the NIL will play a factor into this where those players will go in the pool. But if it's me and you have to deal, say, like the clip says, $100 million cap or
right,
something like that, you have to then pay that player that leaves to go to the transfer portal, that lump sum,
well,
that base salary.
The other thing I'm factoring into this is we touched a little bit on it a couple days ago, Jake. If I am Alabama and I go 3-9 on this season and I'm on the verge of getting relegated, does all my blue chip talent that I've been recruiting going go
right
away?
That's
well, I think it goes off this. If you base each tier off a different cap, say tier 1 has $100 million, say tier 2 has $50 million,
yeah,
and say tier 3 has $25 million,
right,
you'll lose some of those blue chips. I think it then becomes a buy-in thing when it comes to the university.
Yeah,
if you want to stay bought into that university and that program, you can take a pay cut or you can either go on the portal and say, you know what, I'm staying in tier 1 with another program.
Guys, I think we're missing the most important thing here. Let's say hypothetically Alabama was to go 3-9. Do you guys really believe that Greg Sankey would allow some other conference to come and scoop up Alabama?
Guess
well,
what?
I don't think it would be conference-based. I think at this point the conferences would merge, and you would have a just, you know, League One in FBS football would have 40 teams. League Two would have 40 teams, League Three, and then it would just interchange in between.
Yeah. Well, I have a question for Nick. So, Nick, they do this in soccer, and it's – do the fans – for the most part, really like this idea of relegation.
Yeah.
Would you say? Okay.
Everybody's on board except North America.
Okay. Well, here's what I'd have to say about this. There are much more pressing issues that matter with college football than the idea of incorporating relegation. In all due respect to soccer, in all due respect, this is college football. This is not soccer.
Right.
So I'm with Connor. I don't like the idea of relegation.
See, I brought back up this time.
I
was outnumbered last time.
And again, this isn't something I think is going to be added in the next 5 years. I think this is way down the road. But it would add just a different level of excitement to some of these late season games. Because let's say you're in Tier 2. And let's say I'm going through the list that Frazier sent me. Let's say you're Northern Illinois and you've been in Tier 2 for 10 years. But you have one really good season. You have a chance to get up to tier one and you go win a championship and go up. Like, that makes Northern Illinois, who, yeah, maybe you win the MAC every 10 years. Is that all that exciting? Now you're going up to play with the big boys after this. And I think that would be a lot of fun.
It's the same idea, though, like Boise State getting let in the playoffs. Like, there's no realistic shot the Group of Five or whatever can compete with. It's not even the Power Four anymore. It's the Power Two. So if Northern Illinois, for hypothetical reasons, gets relegated up, they're still
promoted.
So far below. Yeah, yeah, promoted. They're still so far below. You can tell how much I know about soccer, right? But
yeah,
they're still so far below where Ohio State and where Texas is. It's not even – they're not even playing the same sport.
But that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of promotion relegation. And, again, let me reiterate kind of what Jake is echoing here. It would be a cool thing to do in college football. I'm not pushing this to happen next year, but I'm saying it would be something interesting to watch. It would bring a little bit more emphasis to the game. And, yes, college football has its pageantries, but to the point of relegation and promotion, if a team like Northern Illinois does get promoted to Tier 1, it not only does something for the players, it does stuff for the program and the city itself.
the little town that it's in, these college football towns, they will benefit from this.
Right.
I'm going to shine a different light on it. There's a lot of talk about expanding the NCAA March Madness basketball tournament. Why mess with perfection? College football right now, as it stands, has a lot of issues with NIL and transfer portal that'll get figured out. But why mess with that even more than it already is?
But is college football perfection? Like, that they're changing the playoff format every single year.
As long as fall Saturdays, to me, it's never been about the postseason. It's always been about the regular season. And as long as fall Saturdays remain fall Saturdays.
Allow me to be a little bit SEC biased here. I love Kentucky football. I know that's a very hot topic. Would I ever want to see Kentucky not play in the SEC? A team that has been here since the beginning? No.
But think of I hate to say this, think of like the tension if Kentucky is playing Missouri in week 11 and the loser gets relegated.
I don't want to think about that. Because that's I just don't find it satisfying to think about, you know, let's break the traditional mold of the SEC. Let's replace Alabama with Liberty or something like that. I don't like the fact that we're thinking about, you know, a traditional conference that has so much value here in this part of the country just splitting up because of a win-loss thing.
Well, here's another way I look at this, and I'm bringing it to a TV standpoint. Y'all talked about the Big Ten, how it's not as strong when it comes to TV ratings. This is another format to where that would even out.
Right. And
that would bring more attention.
If you are kind of getting rid of conferences, you could get so many different matchups that we've never seen before. Like, yeah, you keep the big rivalries, but you could get a lot of different fun matchups. Frazier just sent an example that someone made of what Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3 would look like. So in this example, they pretty much took most of the ACC, most of the Big Ten, most of the SEC, and put them in Tier 1 with a couple of key changes. Wake Forest is not in Tier 1. Indiana, not in Tier 1. Illinois, Northwestern, Stanford, Arkansas, Mississippi State, South Carolina, Vanderbilt. I believe that's it.
And SMU. Let's not forget.
SMU is an ACC team, too. I keep forgetting about that.
Pony up.
Those teams would not be in Tier 1 out of those three major conferences. And they added some Big 12 teams to Tier 1. West Virginia's in there. Arizona, Arizona State, Utah. Oregon State is in Tier 1 for some reason.
Pac-12, baby. Power
TCU,
five.
Kansas State, Colorado. I think that's it. Oklahoma State, too.
Maryland? How do they fit?
Maryland's a Big 10 school, but they put them into the ACC tier for this one.
Interesting.
So maybe this is a little older, but that's kind of what it would look like if you had about 40 teams and then you sent the rules that like the last place team in each division would get sent down. The first place team in the division below would go up. There's different ways to look at this. And again, I don't think this is imminent, but I think it might fix the issue that college football is top heavy. Like you would have games that would matter between teams that are ranked, you know, 36th and 38th in the country. Because for a casual fan, like let's say we're not talking about Kentucky and Missouri. Let's say on a Saturday, Maryland is playing Oklahoma State and the loser gets relegated. Typically, you would have no reason to watch Maryland and Oklahoma State. But now you do because those teams are playing for basically their program at that point. I understand that maybe if you're a diehard fan of a program, you'd be like, why would I ever sign up for this? I don't want to see my team ever get relegated. But for the casual college football fan, I think this would make all the games a lot more meaningful.
Is this an idea to try to even out the sport where there's not so many top-heavy teams? Is that what this is trying to get at?
That's where I'm going. I think college football should be top-heavy. Because look at the leagues that are trying to balance out. The NBA, for example. The NBA tries to divvy out talent across all 30 teams, and how does that work? You still have wins and winning teams and losing teams, obviously.
But you're going to get Oklahoma City, Indiana in the finals this year.
It's a boring product.
Is it?
Yes.
I think that's way better than seeing Golden State and Cleveland for the fifth year in a row like we did 10 years ago.
Sure, but you're not going to, with the new college football playoff format, you're not going to see Alabama and Georgia every
There's
year.
No flattening the curve. NIL didn't do it.
Now, I understand you just saw Ohio State and Notre Dame in the championship, but that was a 6 versus an 8 seed.
Yeah, But that was because the bracket was messed up. Like now that
is true.
Yeah. I would like to see what straight seeding looks like this year, and maybe that will make the product a little bit better, because I just felt like the playoff, you knew halfway through what side of the bracket was going to win the title. Like, you knew whoever came out of that Ohio State, Texas, Oregon side of the bracket, that was the team that was going to win the title. Penn State, Notre Dame, they were never going to win it.
I just feel like you would take a lot of the underdog story. You'd have some, obviously, the team that wants to get promoted gets promoted because they play their asses off. But you'd get rid of some of these teams. Like, let's take TCU, for example. Granted, they got smacked in the national championship, but they put on an absolute classic against Michigan in the Rose Bowl. One of the best games I've ever seen. You would take that away by putting relegation. You wouldn't have these primetime bowl matchups.
Why not, though?
Because you wouldn't have the big-name teams. You'd have Northern Illinois playing Boise State in a Tier 1 game.
Yeah, but all the big names are still in Tier 1, too. But you might have an opportunity for a team that in the past wasn't great to work their way up.
And imagine it this way. Say in each tier at the end of their season, they have, because Serie B in Italian soccer, the second division, they do a playoff format.
Right.
Kind of like what college football does.
I think
does.
You would still do a playoff format because you have to crown a champion.
Right.
And Americans don't like just ties. Regular season standings deciding who wins a title.
Yeah, no. I think you got to obviously put in a playoff format, but include each tier into a full playoff format.
Yeah.
That's what I would
say.
So
you could get a tier one champion, a tier two champion, tier three champion. So, like, that would give a team like, you know, MTSU, if they're in tier two, there's a much better chance to win a championship in tier two than to go make the playoff and actually win a national championship.
What I'm saying is you get your top two teams out of each tier and put them in a bracket all with each other. You get a true champion. So, like, you have a top two teams out of each division, okay? And then that's your teams that are getting promoted.
Yeah.
Out of those promoted teams, then you put them all in a bracket together to get a true champion out of all of it.
You know what also do that? National champion. A separate group of five playoff.
Yeah,
because Boise State's never winning.
I
brought that up back in like December with Chase and Big Joe, and they were like, "Yeah, it's not a bad idea."
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If you have thoughts on a possible reshuffle of the college football structure, maybe a promotion relegation system, maybe an idea like a group of five playoff, let us know. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly will keep the conversation going next. You're on Force Company, 1025-1063, The Game. Four's Company on this Memorial Day, 1025-1063, The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly with you on your Monday. Hope you've had a great weekend. We're talking college football promotion and relegation. What would a structure look like if college football was to adopt a European soccer-type structure? Quickly do want to mention, we are just under 30 minutes away from the selection show for the NCAA baseball tournament. NCAA baseball on Twitter just put out the top four seeds in alphabetical order. They are all SEC teams: Arkansas, Auburn, Texas, and Vanderbilt. We were kind of talking during the break that seems like Auburn's the four, Arkansas's the three. The question is, who will be the top overall seed, Texas or Vanderbilt? We'll find out in 25, 30 minutes, and we will react live right here on Force Company as we are with you until noon. I think me and Frazier, for the most part, are playing devil's advocate when it comes to promotion relegation. This may not be the perfect system to restructure college football, but I think everyone can agree that there's change coming, and there's probably going to be a split between these big conferences and the NCAA sooner rather than later, where I think we eventually get to the point where college football is its own separate entity and the rest of college athletics are still under the NCAA umbrella.
Yeah. College football is larger than life. But to kind of go back to a point, Frazier, you said pretty much all of the world is on board with relegation except for North America.
Yeah.
Which leads me to this point. This is America.
Oh, I agree.
We do things our own way.
Oh,
the
no.
European mind cannot
the
comprehend.
The European mind can't comprehend
I agree.
The national landscape we have of college football. So my point is, why change it? Why change that structure? Why be Why fall in line with the rest of the world? Stand out and be different. This is American sports. No other league in America is promoting relegation or promotion. Not even the MLS supports promotion. Maybe they should.
They should. It's
I do think they should. But the NBA, you know, you have the G League. They don't do promotion and relegation. MLB, you have farm systems. NHL, you have farm systems. NFL is its own entity. You don't have enough teams to do a promotion or relegation with the NFL. But college football, to me, what makes it so enticing and so massive is the amount of teams that there are that are all fighting for different goals. You have your top-heavy teams like your Alabama and your Ohio State and your Notre Dame and teams like that that are looking to compete for a national championship. Then you have teams on sort of our level, our Kentucky, our Mississippi State, our Virginia Tech, that are fighting for, you know, let's see if we can compete in a conference. Let's see if we can make a decent bowl game.
Get into the playoff, maybe.
Into the playoff. And then you have your lower G5, your MTSU, your Western Kentucky, your teams like that that are fighting for, let's see if we can make a conference championship. Let's see if we can have an 8-4 season. Because if we have an 8-4 season, then we can build off of that to have a 9-3 and maybe be the one G5 that gets into the playoff. That's what makes college football so enticing to me, is these different levels of competition that you have. If you take, if you put relegation, yes, you will have, you know, different levels of competition, but it will all be for the same goal. You know,
it's a good point.
We're all trying to stay relevant. We're trying to get to a level where we are relevant in tier one, not be knocked down a peg. And ultimately, the ultimate goal for every program in the nation is win a national championship. But obviously, it's unrealistic for teams like our MTSUs, or no offense to them, or, you know, even our teams are just different levels.
It's very unlikely that we will ever see one of our teams win a football national championship just because of the way the sport is structured.
That's why we have College Football 25, buddy.
Speaking of which, I will say, how much fun would a promotion relegation system be in a college football video game?
Like,
you start as, you know, Louisiana Monroe or something like that, and try and work your way all the way up to tier one and become a national champion. I think that would be really fun. Again, I'm really playing devil's advocate here. I think there is a better system for college football to have than a promotion relegation system, but it does make you wonder, like, if the SEC and the Big Ten did split and just created a college football super league, it would suck for a fan of a Virginia Tech or another ACC school that wouldn't get brought along where it's like, well, now what are we competing for? It's like, we can be the, it's basically like you're in the FCS at that point. That would be the feeling of if you're left behind from whatever college football super league ends up happening, it's like you get demoted into the FCS and you're no longer relevant and there's no chance for you to get up to that level of relevance again.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, if that were to happen, like a super league, you essentially have to pay a buyout for that. Like, SEC and Big Ten would have to pay a buyout to the NCAA, do their own thing. Like you're saying, it would devalue everything else. It'd almost feel like a group of five. I wouldn't even say FCS.
Right.
I still think FCS football is a little better than group of
but
five.
But everybody who gets left out would kind of, it would feel like you're on the outskirts of relevancy. And it's like, how are you ever going to get recruits again? Because no one's going to want to come play in a league that is outside of the top tier and has no chance to ever get into the top tier. So there's obviously a lot of questions that go along with how this structure is going to be. And I do think eventually the federal government probably has to make a decision here on something, like whether it's NIL, whether it's the structure of college football, whether it's the transfer portal, because clearly these conference commissioners and, you know, Charlie Baker and the NCAA can't govern themselves.
Yeah. No, I mean, they're too concerned about what goes inside the NCAA office as opposed to every other conference in the world, or not the world, but the country.
Right.
America is the world, if we're not clear.
Let's quickly go to our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Edward wants to chime in. Edward, good morning. Go ahead. Edward, you're on.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yep, we got you.
All right, okay, good. I'm out running over at Murphy Center and just listening to your show. I've listened to you guys before. a great station. I think it's the best sports station in Nashville.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
I listen religiously from 9 to 2 and 6 on. So what I wanted to mention, my daughter lived in Europe. She played soccer, and her husband, who is an Irishman, he played professionally in Belfast. I don't think there is really the same mindset as there is in other countries as in America. One gentleman a minute ago made the say, this is America. We do our things our own way. And there's been countries that have started wars. There's one called the football war between El Salvador and Honduras back in the 60s. So, you know, 94 people killed in a soccer game in Europe and England back in the 90s. So I think what we have is perfect. I think expanding NCAA basketball would be bad.
Yep.
I believe that we just changed the football into what we have now. And everybody seemed to, you know, be pretty favorable to it, except those that are left out. So that's just my thoughts. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for the call, Edward. It's a good point that I think in other sports, it is perfect. Like, I have no problem with college basketball. I have no problem with college baseball.
Yeah.
I think every other NCAA-sponsored sport is doing what they should. But college football is just so chaotic right now with all the changes that there has to be a – we said it the other year. We need like a – or the other day. We need like a 10-year structure that everybody can agree on and not change every single year, because we need a little bit of stability in college football.
And by the way, when I said this is America, I did not mean that as a political statement. It was more of – I'm a proud
more
American.
More about sports.
Yeah. Yes. It was not
– American sports booted. Are better, yeah.
I was not expecting a statement on the football
on war.
Yeah.
Yes. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'd love to hear from you. You can text or call. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll take a quick break. We're going to get caught up a little bit on the NBA and NHL playoffs here in this final segment of the second hour. And then again, coming up in just under 15 minutes, we will start to get a college baseball bracket. We'll react to where Vandy ends up, where Tennessee ends up, and much more here on Force Company 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Force Company 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, and Parker Kelly with you on this Memorial Day Monday. Hope you've had a great weekend so far. We're wrapping up hour number two of the show. We're with you until noon. We're going to get a NCAA tournament bracket for college baseball coming up in a minute. We know Vanderbilt is a top four seed in the tournament. We know Tennessee is going to host. We'll get those regions coming up in a little bit. We'll react to those in about 10 minutes or so. We were talking about a possible relegation promotion system in college football. Texter on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, imagine Florida State getting relegated last year after what they did in 2023.
Oh,
like, how funny would that be?
Brutal.
You go 13-0 one year, and then the next year you're in tier two.
Brutal.
That would be one of those things. It's like one bad season, and you've got to work your way back up.
Imagine Miami. I mean, they've been out of relevancy since, like, one.
Right.
And then they resurged with Cam Ward, you know, last season or so.
I mean, like, Cam Ward's the last good quarterback that they've had. Like, they've had so many quarterbacks go in there that were expected to turn it around. Brad Kaya was a big one.
Carson Beck's the shortest stint one.
Tyler Van Dyke
in, like, the way too early mock drafts 2 years ago was being, like, mocked as a top 10 pick. And then he got benched by week 5.
And then transferred to Wisconsin. We never heard from him again.
Yes. He did play a little bit at Wisconsin, I think.
And then got hurt. And then out of eligibility now. So
Yeah. So, yeah, Miami would be in another one of those conversations of, like, national superpower for a long time and then fell off.
I can think of two more. Nebraska and SMU.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah, Ponies.
Yeah.
Pony Express. Syracuse.
Yeah.
Syracuse was really good for a long time. They open the season against Tennessee and Atlanta. Fun couple days down there, actually. And I'd thought about going, but I don't think I'm going to. Tennessee plays Syracuse on Saturday, and then Virginia Tech plays South Carolina on Sunday. the Beamer Bowl.
Beamer Bowl.
To open up the season. But, you know, Atlanta's still 4 hours away. So, anyway, quick update here before we get to the end of the hour. NBA NHL playoffs going on. Right now, it's looking like the Panthers are going to head back to the Stanley Cup Final, trying to defend their title.
Good pick, Frazier.
Yeah.
Thank you. Pick.
They're up 3-0 on the Hurricanes right now. On the other side, Oilers went up 2-1 in the series over the Stars last night with a 6-1 win. So a blowout there. Possible that we see a rematch of last year's Stanley Cup Finals, Panthers-Oilers. Which, it was a great series. Panthers went up 3-0. Oilers got it back to a game 7 and then lost. And then on the NBA side, Thunder looked like they were going to cruise, but then got blown out the other night by the Timberwolves. And then the Knicks looked like they were going to go down 3-0 last night, came back and saved their season. So a lot of very intriguing series outside of the Panthers and Hurricanes, where Carolina has now lost 15 straight conference finals games.
Head coach is 0-11 in conference finals.
Crazy. I mean, three straight sweeps, and now they're down 3-0. I believe tonight is game 4,
yeah.
So a chance that their season comes to an end tonight. But the other three series, all very interesting, and I believe we'll have – do we have a game on tonight on 1025? I believe we might have the basketball game, Thunder-Timberwolves tonight.
I think so. I know we have baseball after us.
Yes. Let's see. Yeah, at 2:30 after us, we got Blue Jays Rangers, and then coming up at 7, Minnesota OKC game 4. So you can hear that right here on the game.
Yay. Fun. Good job, Joe Rexroden. You're having some trouble with your mic.
Yeah, didn't even know it was off that at
all.
That's
like the third time that's happened in the last 10 minutes for you, too.
We love live radio, just me scrolling through the program grid here as we roll through. But NBA and NHL playoffs, even though there's not the, you know, big market team, I know the Knicks are still in it, but we could get OKC Indiana, and like I said earlier, I think that's really good for the sport to have two smaller market teams playing the championship and kind of get away from, you know, Lakers-Celtics, which I know is what the league would want, but we're getting two teams that I get the Thunder won a championship as the Supersonics, but it would be two teams that have never won a championship.
Yeah, and also about the Pacers and the Thunder, they're playing complete basketball right now.
Right.
The ball movement, it just – it seems like the Timberwolves are just one-dimensional. I mean, they have their Anthony Edwards who drops points all the time. But, you know, when you don't have your rebounder Rudy Gobert playing at full capacity, that's a little bit of an issue. I think the production's been a little lackluster from the Timberwolves. As for the Knicks, I mean, I was telling y'all before the show, I have a buddy of mine who's a big NBA fan. I'm a Knicks fan, but yet I don't really follow the NBA religiously. Kind of when the playoffs start, it's kind of when I start following. If you were to tell me the Knicks would be in the Eastern Conference Finals 2-3 years ago and making a trade for, you know, Cat, I think that's – I mean, you can't go wrong with that. You really can't.
I mean, the Knicks, you got to give them credit. They have built one of the best starting lineups in the league, having Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, Mikal Bridges, OG Anunoby, and Karl Anthony Towns. But they just don't have a lot of depth. And I feel like against a team like the Pacers who – they're the best offensive team in basketball, I think. It makes it tough to keep up with them when you just don't have a sixth or seventh or eighth option. I think it was Kenny the Jet Smith said last night that Tom Thibodeau wouldn't play 9 guys if he was coaching baseball. So
like 2 outfielders.
Right. Yeah. Like he likes to keep the bench short, and he tried to expand a little last night. They went down by 20. Karl Anthony Towns scored 20 points in the fourth quarter to help the Knicks get the win. So lots of great action on the hardwood, on the ice. And again, coming up 7 o'clock tonight, you can listen to ESPN Radio's coverage of Thunder and Timberwolves game 4 from Minneapolis as the T-Wolves try and even the series heading back to Oklahoma City. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you'd like to text or call. Our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. When we come back, we're getting set for the selection show, NCAA baseball. We'll look at Vandy, we'll look at Tennessee, and much more here on Force Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.